Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everyone. How are you? Welcome. This is Your Voice Radio, your host, Trish McKnight. Trying to get the lighting right here. I'm getting better at this. We'll see. Anyway, yes, this is Your Voice Radio, and since it is April, it is Child Abuse Prevention Month, Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Part one. Early April, we are going to focus on child abuse, child sexual assault. Laws, what you can do, how to get help, will they actually be able to tell you? Is it something you're going to have to dig deeper for? Now, it's a very dark topic, and I know that. I know how uncomfortable it is. I'm a survivor. I'm an advocate, author, creator of Butterfly Dreams Abuse Recovery. I've done over 200 talk radio programs on these types of topics. I'm an active advocate who not only fights to change our laws and wants to bring attention and resources and be here to help people, but also a voice, somebody that even kids can talk to. My perfect idea would be to create safe zones within every school district to where kids can meet once a week with volunteer teachers and those from the community who want to come in and kind of mentor kids through talking about things that happen. And so long as these kids are not being severely hurt or sexually harmed, then they can feel free to open up and discuss other things that may be very well affecting them in their daily life, trying to get education, trying to concentrate on their homework. Do they have other things to do at home? You know, how does the family get along at home? How do they get along with their friends? Any kind of bullying that may be going on? Any dating or boy-girl issues? Any sense of gay, transgender, or lesbian issues that might be going on early on? You know, while they're in middle school, before they go to high school, give them a foundation. You know, I mean, not that high school kids wouldn't be welcome, because if you have two groups, you can work from 6th to 8th graders, and you can work with the freshman and sophomore kids. So, you know, it's my perfect idea would be to create a safe zone in every school district. That means within every small community where kids can meet up. Anyway, going on, as we discuss the topic of child sexual abuse, there's many survivors who tune in and listen and watch these programs. I am going to try to get you through this as best as I possibly can without triggering any negative effects for you. Secondary wounding happens, and that is when society doesn't quite accept or understand or even realize that something is setting you off and something is causing you. Trying to get that. I feel like I've got it. There we go. It's gone. That something is, you know, upsetting you. I get it. I understand. So please, if you're a survivor or if this topic is too close for you, don't stress yourself out. However, realize how important your voice as a survivor could mean within your community. We want to wipe out the stigma of the effects of, you know, of being a child sexual abuse victim, or rather survivor, you know, and we want our kids to talk openly about it. Well, how can they talk openly about it if we can't discuss it? You know, you hear them talking, you know, good things and bad things about their friends. You hear them talking about online stuff. You hear them talking about all these crazy things that are available for them. But are you talking about what happens right inside your home? Is it a safe zone inside your home? Do you have some addiction issues or some insecurity issues or some parenting issues that, in fact, are a result of some really bad stuff that you went through as a kid that may be still affecting you? That affects us as parents. I know this firsthand. It affected me in my parenting. It affected me in my ability to make the right kinds of stable choices for my kids. And it caused some really bad tensions as we, you know, as I got older and I was ready to face all of this horror that I went through. You know, sadly, my kids were already adult kids. Services that, you know, weren't available to help me back in the, throughout the 90s. Are available today. Laws that weren't in place back in the 90s are in place now, you know. But does that mean that every, you know, when you're talking, let's go on to cover incest. Incest between siblings. Okay, now how does this come about? How does incest between siblings come about? When they're young, the first key to knowing if a young child is being sexually abused is their knowledge of sexually motivated type behaviors. They shouldn't know about quote-unquote finger games or touching someone else's privates, or they don't have that knowledge inside of them unless there are two ways. One, they're seeing it on television or in a pornographic movie. Two, somebody is doing it to them. So if you've got this behavior going on between siblings, chances are somebody did it to one child first, and then that child went to the one next to them. Because sexually stimulating activities for a child, if they start young enough, these become playtime behaviors. These become what our kids understand is how we play. And it's what we do whenever we lay down. And it's, you know, well, this is fun. And, you know, look at this. This is cool. But are they ever going to say that somebody taught them? It's weird how, and it's kind of awkward, you might say, but instantly a kid, unless this is something that's always happened to them, I mean, you know, from like 6 months, 1 year, and then just progresses through then. When this happens to, say, a 3, 4, 5-year-old kid, they instantly know that something's wrong. They don't understand why they feel the way they feel. They don't understand that it's a bad behavior and that they shouldn't be doing it. They just know that, you know, one, it creates this feeling in their body, and two, this is what has happened. This is how I know how to play. So, you know, I think it's important to realize that what we're learning today about sexual abuse in young children is that they will display more behavioral signs rather than verbal signs or verbal statements about sexual abuse, unless they've been hurt really bad, such as being, pardon me for the difficult language here, but there's no other way to go about it. It's not a nice subject. It's not a good topic. It's not, you know, many don't even consider it 10 o'clock in the morning topic. Well, you know, if we're not talking about it, how are we going to teach them to talk about it? And how are we going to help those who are living today as wounded parents with addiction and self-hatred and maybe even abusing and sexually allowing sexual harm to come to their kids? You know, how are we going to help them? We can't help ourselves. How are we going to help them if, in fact, we cannot quite talk yet openly without condemning someone or without shaming someone into believing that, you know what, this is it, this is all you get, and, you know, this is what happens in life, and I got through it, you'll get through it. Well, you know what, if you're allowing this, or if you have any knowledge and you aren't doing anything, if you suspect something and you're not talking to your kid about this, then you, in fact, are not okay. You, in fact, need either some parenting tips on this subject or some parenting recovery on this subject. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty because, you know, back in the 80s, back in the 90s, back in the 60s, back in the 40s, back in 1900, back in 100 AD or 100 BC, whatever you want to call it, we have not talked about this. Yeah. Pardon me. And we have not told our kids. We've not made books available. We've not made open freedom of speech discussions and roundtables available. We've not involved mental health professionals. We've not involved medical professionals. We've not involved teachers and law enforcement and even updated our laws. We've only just been doing that in the last 10 years. So how is it that these victims of the past, kids who may be in their 20s or maybe their 30s today, you know, even in their 40s or, you know, and they can't even face what's happened to them yet. It's a very dark topic, but we have to change that. We have to be strong enough and courageous enough to take a chance, because nothing is going to change unless we are all working together on it. We have to do this as a team effort, as a community effort. I live in Breeze, Illinois, out in Clinton County, Illinois, 40 miles south of St. Louis, or 40 miles east of St. Louis, rather. And, you know, I teamed up with the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. I love Bill Murray. I love the NASCA Foundation. Proud to be a family member and a spokesperson. I also, you know, I travel and I do different speaking engagements and different training seminars on different types of topics, but child sexual abuse, child abuse, period, is my one true passion. It's something that I have seen affect myself, my children, my grandchildren, and I am damn sick and tired of it. I am sick and tired of seeing the headlines every single day that another kid, sadly, has to be dead or seriously injured before they ever get any help, before somebody in their community is brave enough to say something, or before the cops end up finding them dead, that they've run away and they've succumbed to traffickers or got involved with gangs and now they're in prison or they're doing time in juvie because they're mixed up in, you know, giving their body away because, you know, what does my body matter to me? Somebody else has always destroyed my body anyway. My body is just a sex object. Who cares what I'm thinking or feeling or what I don't want to happen to me? Because, you know, when this happens to you, that's exactly what happens. Day after day, year after year, week after week, month after month, you're hanging on. You're waiting. And maybe it only happens once every 3-4 months. Maybe, sadly, it happens 2-3 times a week. That instead of going to their spouse or their partner for sex, they're coming to the child in the home because their partner doesn't want anything to do with them sexually and doesn't like to play their sadistic games. So guess what? You know, we've always allowed and we have never provided any resources or we have secretly hidden this sexual abuse or this severe physical trauma or this constant badgering and degradation and destroying their sense of self-worth. We don't do it intentionally. We do it because it happened to us. This is how I was taught. So I'm going to do this too. Well, I always tried to make sure that I wasn't the parent that I had for parents. My greatest regret is not staying with my kids as dad, because the moment I left him, the moment he ran away with my kids, that's when everything changed. And, you know, 4 years later, I get them back and services are not there. And when I take them in for evaluation, nobody spots things that are going on. And, you know, I'm not saying anything happened. I'm saying things that happened to my kids and the trauma that they showed afterwards and the behaviors that, you know, I knew, my gut knew, I knew, but nobody was there to help me. Nobody would listen to me and nobody would help me try and figure out how to make it better other than spanking the shit out of my kids whenever I saw them doing something that triggered me or upset me or made me feel that it was bad. You know, I did. If I felt that they were doing something inappropriate, yeah, I did. You know, I spanked them. I grounded them. I intervened. I lectured them. So, you know, I did what I felt I could do. But at that time, back in the 90s, back in the 80s, these resources of what we know today were not available. So today's topic being, how can young children tell you? Chances are they won't. Chances are they don't understand it. I shared out a link on our radio show group page. Remember, there are two ways you can get involved with the show. One is through the live video feed during the broadcast, and just comment here through our Facebook group, www.facebook.com/groups/yourvoiceradio2017. Go to that link or go to the Blog Talk Radio link, blogtalkradio.com/yourvoiceradio2017. And you will be able to listen in to, you know, through the studio, online through any internet device, or share your comments with me. If you're watching this video, share your comments with me on the live video screen, or even after. I'll spread it around after because it's a video that I hope that you don't pass by without sharing. The National Child Traumatic Stress Network team has come up with some information that I shared out. And the one sentence that grabbed me right off the bat, now this is how we can tell we are dealing with updated information, okay? Child sexual abuse is any interaction between a child and an adult or another child in which the child is used for the sexual stimulation of the predator or an observer. Sexual abuse can include both touching and non-touching behaviors. Touching behaviors, careful, this may be triggering, may involve touching of the vagina, the penis, the breasts, or the buttocks. Oral genital contact or sexual intercourse. Non-touching behaviors can include voyeurism, trying to look at a child's naked body, exhibitionism, or exposing the child to pornography. Abusers often do not use physical force, but may use play, deception, threats, or other forms of coercion to engage children and to maintain their silence. Some kids are not as badly tormented or threatened or physically harmed as other kids. Some kids are specifically eased into this and slowly into this because that is how that predator is. Maybe they don't have any sadistic type of behaviors. Maybe they are just sexually intrigued or interested or wanting of a younger body. Abusers frequently employ pervasive and manipulative tactics to keep the child engaged. The tactics are usually referred to as grooming. They may include buying gifts or arranging special activities, which actually further confuses the victim because they really don't feel comfortable with what's happening, and they may even be hurting, especially with actual intercourse, whether it be through sodomy or through vaginal penis sexual activity. An adult body or a teenager's body is not going to be the same as a young child's. So that pain, that discomfort is absolutely something that is going to hurt them. They're not going to enjoy this. You know, even as adults, women having sex for the first time is painful. But if you think of children, the comparison is much more hurtful, much more painful. And I'm not doing this to be sexually stimulating or pornographic. I am doing this so that we publicly talk about sexual abuse. These are the behaviors that a predator will use, an abuser will use, and they will go to their experience. They know this. They know these feelings that they have. Or maybe they're coming across these feelings for the first time. But if they are, chances are someone's done this to them in some form. And they feel that, you know, this is what happens. Maybe they just feel, okay, you know, there's nothing to this. Or maybe they're just drawn to a younger person's body, like I said. Myself, personally, I feel that anyone who does this to a child that is 12 years or younger should be held responsible under federal legislation and make it a federal crime, because young kids are easily, extraordinarily easy to manipulate into doing anything. They want your approval. They will do anything to make you love them. If you are mommy or daddy or brother or sister or favorite uncle Joey or favorite Aunt Kim that lives in the same house, they are going to want and strive for your attention and your approval for positive feedback. Even a young child craves attention, and they will behave, if all they ever get is negative attention, they will behave in ways that gets them that negative attention. if, you know, in other words, they won't listen. They will constantly be the ones getting in trouble. That means they're used to negative attention and nobody just grabs them and hugs them and says, I love you, just to do it. And, you know, no one takes them to get ice cream just to do it. All they get is yelled at and screamed at and maybe slapped across the room or kept in their, you know, grounded forever, or their phones taken away. You know, kids are going to get your attention, and they're either going to do the right things or the wrong things to do it. Whenever they're being sexually abused by someone who is very, very close to them, someone that they strive to get this approval and this attention from, then, you know, they're going to go along with whatever you wish. And if you tell them it's, you know, a special little secret or whatever, yeah, they're going to say, okay. But how can they actually tell you if something's going on? What are some of the things that you can actually learn to do, and some of the things that we should remember whenever we are looking at crimes of sexual abuse against children? We'll get into more of this in just a moment. I want to remind everyone, you're listening into the Your Voice Radio Network. This is Topics with Trish, and we are covering our ongoing month of Child Abuse Prevention Month, Sexual Assault Awareness Month. You can call into the studio, 929-477-2779, or please join our live video feed through the Facebook group and leave your comments, your likes, anything that you wish, anything that you think might be additionally helpful in breaking the ice and getting people to openly discuss what's really going on inside of their family circles. Now, if we want to keep our family issues family private, then let's talk about them openly inside our families. Let's clear the air. Let's teach our kids about these things. Let's discuss these topics with them. Let's make sure that people are aware that, you know, there's services today that were not available even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. A great way to find out what help is available in your area, you can call United Way Star 211. They, you know, tell them what is going on, or you can call your state, your individual state number for Department of Health and Human Services. You can also make a report to that same individual state Department of Health and Human Services child abuse reporting. If you just hunt out your state, such as I'm in Illinois, IL Department Health Human Services, and you will see the link for reporting child abuse on that page. Whatever your state may be, Department of Health and Human Services, and you will find a child abuse reporting information and helpful information for you. Now, what I'm about to go through with you is some of the things that I created and I learned and I studied so that I could share on the other radio shows that I've broadcasted and through speaking engagements. If you look at the slideshow, if you go to the radio link, blogtalkradio.com/yourvoiceradio, you will find some pictures that are there, the slideshow gives the 2014 sexual abuse numbers for the state of Illinois. We also have the perpetrators and offenders breakdown, also the statistics across the country, the National Child Abuse and Neglect Data Systems, and then the main thing, of course, is teaching our kids that their body is evidence. Someone touches them, someone hurts them, their body is evidence. Just like you see on a crime show, don't change your clothes, don't shower, go to the hospital for an exam, or call your local police department. to get help immediately. That message should be taught to every 10, 11, 12, you know, beginning in third grade when they can actually understand it. We teach them to call 911, but we don't tell them to call 911 when sexual harm or physical harm, and somebody has left DNA or a wound or a bruise or something. So we don't do that enough. We only teach them to call 911 in case mommy and daddy start fighting or in case somebody breaks in or in case there is a fire. That's when we teach them to call 911. You know, we don't tell them about the times when somebody, even their mommy or their daddy or their brother or their sister, is hurting them. And while we don't want to make all of these different maltreatment types a family quote-unquote crime to where there's prosecution, no, we want to get intervention. We want to evaluate the actual act that is happening. Why is it happening? You know, does there need to be some sexual abuse counseling and recovery process for the individual parent? Or does there need to be some help provided to help the kid go through recovery and process anger and sadness that they have over being someone's victim? Because even if you're an adult, if you're someone's victim, it hurts, and you hurt, no matter if it's physical, sexual, but anything that is personally violating to you definitely is an act that you want to consider teaching kids to report. So your body is evidence. There is also, you know, the infamous, if you tell, I will kill you. That is that severe threat. That's extreme threat. Now, like we said, there's other ways to keep a child silent. They go from giving them candy to taking them special places, buying them special clothes, getting them an iPod, making sure that they always have the best of everything, you know, and I've seen that there are so many adult survivors that came from good, quote unquote, good upstanding families where the money was fine and they had a spotless house and there was no alcohol addiction and no drug addictions. There was plenty of food in the house. The bills were all paid and they had fancy cars and they went to church every Sunday. So I've seen it to both extremes. And, of course, I've learned about it on both sides of that coin as well. I only lived with it being on the really negative, you know, the town trash kind of side. And everyone knows what it's like whenever we judge that family living on the other side of town or across the hall or down the street. You know, your kid goes to school with their kid and, you know, you wonder, why is that kid always filthy? Why does their teeth never brush? Why do they always be so mean? And why do they do all the, why did they try touching my child? First thing we need to ask ourselves is, who's doing this to them? Because they're learning it from somewhere. And that is key. They are learning it from somewhere. And if there's not intervention, they will take that knowledge to another kid. Maybe they will be manipulated to bring another kid in. Bring your friend over next time. We'll all get together and have a good time together. Next thing you know, that person is then targeting that friend. That, my dears, is a hard pill to swallow for an adult survivor to know that they are involved in pimping off their friends, getting people in because it means a little extra bonus for them. And, of course, it makes their abuser, their that predator, happy. You know, so plus another kid's going through it, and maybe they're not anymore. Maybe they've grown out of that stage that the abuser likes, but they want to encourage them to bring somebody else. There's a lot of different sides to that coin. And when it is a relative, when it is a mommy or a daddy or a mommy's boyfriend or daddy's girlfriend, step-parent, you know, if it is a close grandparent, if it is a close sibling, trust me, they are going to take that sexual behavior without intervention, and then they are going to become the sexual manipulators and playtime involvement with other children, whether it be a random kid at school or their best friend or their first sleepover. There's going to be something. There's going to be that chance that they are thinking about this. Now, also, some things that I want you to, as communities, definitely check out the National Child Traumatic Stress Network. The PDF that I shared is the Child Sexual Abuse Fact Sheet. Also, check out the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. They've got some great fact sheets there as well. I go by the 2011 and the 2014 stats that I actually researched myself. You know, if you ever want to really know the truth about something, research it yourself. I go by that. I think that it's important that, you know, we take our individual state and we compare it across the country. I can tell you that confirmed, one in nine children suffer some form of sexual abuse. Of those, one in nine, 51.2% are girls, and I believe it is 46.8% are boys. So almost 50-50. Different abuses happen to different age and gender children at different times. Maybe a boy is okay to sexually abuse until he goes through puberty and starts getting old enough that he actually tries to take you on, fight back, and defend himself. Maybe, you know, so then you go to physically abusing that boy. All right. So then with a girl, you know, of course, their body being their body, are always in danger of being sexually abused. Not that boys aren't, but as they get older, boys are only about 40% compared to 50% for the girls or 60% for the girls. So as the girls get older, you know, you have fear of pregnancy. So maybe intercourse that happened before won't happen now, which means the abuse is actually reduced. So therefore, is the child going to think that they're safe? Or maybe it escalates because now they can involve other people that want to have sex or play with or have the opportunity to touch and probe that young girl. Again, dark topics, I get it. Please don't abandon this video because of the dark topic information. The more prepared and the easier that we can make this a concern, a unified concern, because every adult should be worried about the well-being of a child, no matter if it is a child who lives across the street and is a complete stranger to you, or if it is your niece or your nephew or your brother or your sister or your own child. Every adult needs to be concerned about the children around them. Law enforcement and teachers and medical professionals and church leaders need to be on top of every child around them, or at least the children that they spot are having difficulties with their homework, communicating with other kids, acting out, interrupting class, constantly seeking that negative behavior. Those kids have got something going on. Maybe it is a behavioral disorder. Maybe it truly is just ADD. But remember that 1 in 10 cases of ADD were misdiagnosed and are actually early onset PTSD. And that is from the National Institute of Mental Health. We have to realize that there are things that we can look for, are things that we can do, and that we have to get involved as communities, as parents, as friends, as neighbors, as community leaders. And every small community needs that safe zone for kids. So how do we reach these youngest ones? We can't. They're never, ever going to come up and tell you, only if it's by accident, you know, only if it is in a complete, a child's complete innocence, lack of knowledge innocence, are they ever going to come to someone and say, yes, someone's touching my pee-pee or my vagina or my bottom, and, you know, this is how we play together. No. That's not what they're going to do. They're going to either be very, very quiet and show a very sullen or type of personality, or they are going to suddenly be have these outbursts and these temper tantrums and wetting the bed and trouble with their homework and trouble studying and no friends that they communicate with, or maybe they're, you know, there are many, many negative signs, and every little sign isn't something if it's by itself. But the more of those little signs that you put together, like they have bedwetting and they won't go near their father or don't want to be left alone with their mother, they are scared to sleep alone at night, they don't like to play with their sibling. They don't like to play with Joey down the street. Their grades are starting to show some problems. They're starting to have these sexual behaviors that you don't understand. It's all of those combined that should be alarming, set off red flags, and we should definitely be providing some type of intervention to where we are either addressing with a parent, or if we believe that it's happening in the home, which 92% of the cases happen inside the home. Remember that, 92. An outsider of your home is only 8% likely to ever touch your child. And that's only if it is a, you know, that's a close teacher or a coach or a minister. How much access do they have to your kid? You know, strangers coming up, you know, we preach stranger danger, stranger danger, stranger. Okay, right, I get it. Teach your kid about that. We don't want them to be swiped up and kidnapped, okay? But strangers are only 4% likely in these cases. Now, it's always somebody who knows a kid, somebody connected to that kid somewhere. A 4% chance that a complete stranger is going to harm or assault your child. So you need to be worried more about the people closest to that child. Who has the ability to have the most control over that child? Who has that relationship that maybe used to be fabulous, but not so fabulous anymore? So through my information, what I want to remind you of is that, you know, for sexual abuse, if a young child displays early actions of sexual stimulation, remember, we're not born with this knowledge. It doesn't go off in our clock until, young babies will reach down and their hands suddenly find themselves. That's one thing, okay? by the time they are 1 year old, you will probably see a huge change in this, you know, because it's always covered up. So I think maybe subconsciously we're telling them, okay, it's always covered up. It's not a toy. But they start seeing that they pee with this and they poop with this and, you know, maybe even up to three, okay? But young children are so dependent upon their parent for life itself. They can't take care of themselves. They don't understand yet that they can go tell somebody that these things are happening. And trust me, what we teach them in class, if they teach that subject to first and second and kindergarten kids at all, is, you know, what we teach them in class, and they don't have the trust in us inside that classroom as they do with that connection with mom, dad, brother, sister at home. They have to live with them. So how do these little kids who can't understand what's happening, who are totally dependent, how do we get them help? The acts of learning to touch themselves in certain manners and acting out these signs in playtime with other children or perhaps with their dolls, stuffed animals, this is not normal. This should be very concerning for any child under the puberty age. If your child or a playmate of your child is demonstrating these behaviors, someone has taught them these behaviors or they have seen it. Their bodies naturally, biologically, react to stimulation introduced by others. But it's not a natural behavior until their older puberty begins. When you see a child demonstrating knowledge of sexual behaviors, report, get help. You want to record conversations that you have with them. It's very easy for our conversations to become misguided. We, you know, if it's my kid, and my kid comes to me and says, I'm, you know, maybe they're 5, 6 years old. So-and-so has been touching me, or they touched me there. They tried to do this to me. I'm going to be so alarmed that I have no idea how to stay calm. That child is going to react in, oh my God, I've made a mistake. I've upset mommy. I've upset daddy. I've upset grandma. I've upset brother, sister, you know. We have to stay calm when a kid is telling us that these things are happening, because their greatest concern is your approval. Knowing that they need our approval, they have to be able to trust us. Now, sadly, it is well known that a child must tell, the standards are, the estimated facts are, a child has to tell 7 adults. 7 adults before someone actually believes them. And if it takes decades of trying to build up the courage to talk to someone about a subject that you know your family never discusses, your friends never discuss, your neighbors never discuss, how are they going to ever find the courage to come to you? And if they've got to go to 7 different people, do you think they're going to be able to do that? Are they going to be able to keep going and to keep trying? Are they going to have any faith that somebody's actually going to help them? Or are they just going to stay quiet and try to get through it? Whether it be physical harm, sexual harm, even constant emotional degradation and constant degrading of their behaviors and their actions. Even that type of bullying and threatening and manipulating and controlling behavior. How are they going to tell anybody? Who are they going to trust? Do they have the language to actually explain it to you? Or are you going to have to open your eyes and actually look for some behaviors? And hopefully this video and the series of videos that we're doing this month will give you that knowledge so that you do understand exactly what to look for. Some things that will help you. The conversations that you can have calmly with a child. A few safe questions to begin a conversation. If you see them touching themselves or doing something with a doll, or, you know, remember that children will play very relaxed and very openly when they think that you're not watching them. When they think, you know, nobody, I can remember having my girl Barbie and my male Barbie constantly in a laying down sexual position. That's all I knew. So, you know, at 6 years old, here I am putting my Barbies together to have sex. Nobody thinks twice about it. How did she learn that stuff? Nobody talked about it. We can do better than that. Is there a reason you keep touching yourself there? Does it hurt? Does your private hurt? Is it bothering you in some way? Has someone else touched you there? Did someone teach you, or did you see that somewhere? Did somebody show you? Did you see it in television, or did they show you a movie? Have you seen anything like this? Innocent questions. We cannot manipulate their answers. That's why you want to record it, so that when you report it, when you involve the police, you know, which if you want a trained person to speak to that child, call an advocate. Report to a Department of Health and Human Services, call law enforcement so that they can get CPS, CYS there. And it can be professionally recorded. But if you want a video and you want to conference it and you want a voice recorded, just be cautious and easy. And remember to encourage your child that it's okay. They've done nothing wrong. You know, it's not their behavior that was wrong. Even if they've touched another kid, you know, they've touched that other kid because somebody taught them about these behaviors. You know, I not only was I playing with my Barbies at 6 years old and putting them in these awkward positions, you know, I was involving the boy down the street. You know, every time he'd come to my yard and you know, boom, boom, there you go. How would I have known to do that at 6 years old, 7 years old? Where did that come from? Why would I do that? You know, we don't just do it randomly. Our kids do not just do it randomly. Look for those different behaviors and the different trouble in school and trouble with relationships and trouble with that parent that they just can't seem to trust anymore, or the avoidance of their home, or maybe breakdowns, emotional breakdowns, secret keeping type behaviors, you know, so get involved though. Just don't keep dismissing it. We can't turn back the clock. We can never, ever know exactly how many children this is happening to. Although they can confirm 1 in 9 across the country. Sadly, you know, Congress in 2012 was addressing campus sexual assault and military sexual assault. And they made a public statement, a public press statement. For every 1 report of sexual assault that is made, at least 6 others are not. Now, this is discussing with adults. Adults who know that they can come forward, who know exactly what's happened to them. If it's a young kid, if they are dependent upon their parents for everything, and, you know, if a parent is dismissing, you know, maybe a kid is reporting to them and saying, please help me. You know, I went to my mother 6 different times between 9 and 12. I ran away 3 different times. You know, no intervention there. And then tragically, something very, very brutal happened that I never said another word to anyone. So, you know, we know, understand that young children cannot verbalize what's happening to them for a number of reasons. But inside, they're changing. Their behaviors are changing. Their interactions with others are changing. Their knowledge of sexual activities are changing. Their awareness of their environment, their hypersensitivities, their bedwetting and their outbursts. You get a collection of these, you know, and you know something's wrong. So hopefully this video here has helped you. Please pass it on. You know, so often I do these videos and I share them on my Facebook page and the radio group page and across the abuse sites that I know, LinkedIn, Google Plus, Twitter, you know, but of course, you know, it. Lucky if I hit 100 views and maybe I'm doing something wrong. I don't know. But I hope this helps and I hope that people will get involved and that, one day we will make it a federal offense to harm a child 12 years and younger or to share them sexually. That's my dream, and to have that safe zone for our kids and to give those youngest, those without a voice, those not big enough to fight back, those not big enough to understand that they can say no or that they can tell somebody or that they can get help or that somebody will listen to them. Those are the kids that we have to step up for. You know, those are the ones that we really need to be working on early so that they don't go on in their teenage years and their high school years and their adult years thinking that, oh my God, you know, maybe nothing happened after I was 10. But what about all this other stuff that taught me to behave in all these horrible ways and maybe believe that I wasn't worth anything, that I didn't matter? Let's not do that again. And many, many generations have been destroyed by that silence. So talking about Child Abuse Prevention Month, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, this is Topics with Trish signing off for another great broadcast. I hope that you share this. And I hope that people will listen in on the radio link as well as the video link. That's why I do both. And I hope that you found the information helpful, that you can pass it on to somebody else. So, God bless. Take care of your babies out there, people. Bye-bye. Thank you. Yeah.